storm passes over, that you know what, no matter what happens in this world, it will always come to an end. And that's what we're talking about tonight, is a little bit Ecclesiastes chapter number 9. It's really an interesting passage of scripture. You see in the book of Solomon, there's many times in the book of Ecclesiastes, he's not looking at things from a godly perspective. He's looking at things from a very humanistic type perspective. And when you're reading many of these things, it's coming to the point where you're saying, this is my view without God. When you take God out of the equation, this is how things look like. The title of this evening's message is Talking About Hope. And I think you think about the day and time that we live in, hope is something that we all could use some. It's found in verse number 4. It says, for to him that is joined to all the living, there is hope. To all the living, there is hope. So, Pastor, what does that mean? Well, tonight we're going to look at a passage of scripture where I think Solomon's kind of saying, hey, look, you know, after this world, it's over, it's done. You might as well do everything you can to get the most out of life. But that's not looking at things from a spiritual perspective. We know that this world is not going to be our end. We know that this world is not our home. As believers and Christians, we're just passing through. And that we have something that we're living for, and it's not here and today. It's in the future. Let's jump in here in Ecclesiastes chapter number 9. I think we're just going to go ahead and read down verses 1 to probably about verse number 9 or 10 and pull out some wonderful truths tonight. Ecclesiastes chapter number 9, the Bible says, for all this I considered in my heart, even to declare all this. What is he referring to, all this? He's referring to what we learned back in chapter number 8, back in December. It was the last time we talked about this passage. And he says that the righteous and the wise and their works are in the hand of God. So he's saying, look, everything belongs to God anyway. And that is a truth. We're thankful for that. He's an eternal God. And the Lord himself is the one that leads and directs. And he says, no man knoweth either love or hatred by all that is before him. All things come alike to all. There is one event to the righteous and to the dead. So I want you to take notice of that phrase, one event to the righteous and to the dead. And the first point we're going to get to in a minute, it says the one event that comes to all men. The one event that comes to all men. And I think most of us would know what that would be. It's death. And he said, whether it's righteous or it's wicked. And then he continues on. And Solomon's thinking here. He says, well, if death is going to come to all of us, then who really cares? He says, good and to the clean and to the unclean, and to him that sacrifices and him that sacrifices not. As is the good, so is the sinner. And he that sweareth, as he that feareth an oath. You say, well, so what's so wrong about that? Well, you think about it. The Apostle Paul, when he was faced with the choice of the thought of going to heaven or staying here, what did he say? And it was gain. It was better for him to go up to heaven, but it was necessary for him to stay. It's for Christ's sake he was willing to stay in this world. And so when we're considering this world, we're considering our end. We're not saying, okay, that once I die, all I'm going to do is just go on the ground and I'm going to sleep. That's not taught in the Bible. Look what it says in verse number 3. This is an evil among all things that are done under the sun, that there is one event unto all. Yea, also the heart of the sons of man is full of evil, and madness in their heart is in their heart while they live, and after that they go to the dead. Verse number 4. For to him that is joined to all the living, there is hope. For a living dog is better than a dead lion. And it's an easy comparison there. We think of dogs today. We think of the little pampered pet that might be at your house. I have a miniature Dachshund. She probably weighs 10 or 11 pounds. And I wouldn't call her spoiled, but she thinks she's spoiled. She thinks she kind of runs the house, but she doesn't in my mind. But at the same time, that's not the type of dog they're talking about here. They're talking about a untrained, kind of like a wild animal that is out there. If anything, probably one of the lesser forms of animals that is mentioned in the Bible time. And then they talk about the king of the animals, and saying the lion. So he's comparing an animal like a living dog versus a very majestic, powerful king. At the same time, you know, if the dog's alive, it's more valuable than a dead lion. And the perspective is, what Solomon is getting across here is saying, look, it's better to be alive than dead. And I understand the principle that he's teaching here, but the truth is we can apply that to our Christian lives, but we're not living for the here and now. We're living for the future. Let's keep on going. It'll make sense in a second. For the living know that they shall die, but the dead know not anything. So they're saying, hey, look, the living, they understand something. They know that their end's coming. But those that are already dead know not anything. Neither have they any more reward. For the memory of them is forgotten. Now, some people use that verse and say there is a soul sleep that's there. I don't think the Bible teaches that in any way, shape, or form. Even Jesus made it very clear and evident in the principle when he talked to them about the parable, or some people would say it's not a parable, where Lazarus went up to heaven or Abraham's bosom, and the rich man, as he lifted up his eyes, he was in hell, he was in torment. It wasn't something that was a soul sleep. Now, our soul goes somewhere. And now the body goes into the grave, but the soul and the spirit go somewhere. It talks about how to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord, talking about believer. Here, some people will say that verse and says, oh, they don't know anything. And I don't think that's taught in the scriptures. There's not reemphasized anywhere in scripture. Now, look at some of the things that pass. Also, their love and their hatred and their envy is now perished. Neither have they any more a portion forever in anything that is done under the sun. So he says, look, once you're gone, all these different emotions, they're gone. So then he says, with that perspective, once you die, everything's done. Go thy way, eat thy bread with joy, and drink thy wine with a merry heart. For God now accepteth thy works. Let thy garments be always white, and let thy head lack to ointment. Live joyfully with the wife with whom thou lovest all the days of thy life with of thy vanity, which he hath given thee under the sun. All the days of thy vanity, for that is thy portion in this life, and in thy labor which thou takest under the sun. Verse number 10, I think we'll stop here, and it says, whatsoever thy hand findeth to do, do it with thy might. For there is no work, nor device, nor knowledge, nor wisdom in the grave whither thou goest. So the goal, I believe, the Lord wants to speak to our hearts tonight about is to examine this passage of Scripture, but look at it from a spiritual perspective. Solomon is saying, get all you can out of life, get all the gusto. And if you're going to do something, you might as well do it with all your heart. And I don't think he's really saying whether it's right or wrong. He doesn't care. He says, but life is short. You might as well just do the best you can and go all out. And I think that's true when it comes to our spiritual lives. We should give our heart over to what we're doing, but we should make sure we're doing the right things. Let's have a word of prayer, and we're going to look at tonight talking about how to all the living there is hope. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I pray you help us tonight. Maybe a little bit of a confusing passage of Scripture, and we're not going to dig into some of the deep thoughts behind some of the verses. But Lord, I pray that as we look at a few truths that we can apply to our lives tonight, you will help us. Give us the words you once said. Lord, I pray you clear my heart, mind, and thoughts so where we can be focused, Lord, and just give me the words to say. And Lord, I pray that we be clean vessels. Myself be clean, and Lord, those that are listening, that they be clean, that their hearts be righty, and interested in hearing what the Spirit has to say. In Jesus' name, amen. Point number one is the one event that comes to all men. I know what some of you are thinking. Okay, Pastor, it's a doom and gloom message. And Solomon talks a lot about death. In all reality, we should consider the day we're going to die. I remember last year our theme was consider. And I remember preaching on the verse in Deuteronomy chapter 32, 29. He says, oh, that they were wise, that they understood this, that they would consider their latter end. And it talks about all the different things that man gave thought to, and all the different things. You go back to Deuteronomy chapter number 32, and they thought about this, and they thought about that, and they thought about this country, and they thought about doing this. And he says, oh, that they were wise, that they would have wisdom, and that they would understand this, that they would consider their latter end. That means that they're considering that someday they're going to die. And as they're considering that someday they're going to die, they're going to be held accountable before God. I know the challenge that's happening in America today is it's really indescribable. It comes from so many different areas, so many different facets, and people are out there saying, who's going to keep this person accountable? Who's going to keep this person accountable? And who's going to, in all reality, there is one that will keep them accountable, and that's God someday in the judgment. And yes, it's our responsibility as citizens to try to keep our political leaders accountable and things like that, making sure that they're being honest. And I don't see much truth coming from the political leaders in the day and time that we live in. And it's very discouraging, can be very sad. And that's why the message tonight, I think, is so appropriate. While there is living, there is still hope. There's always hope while we are alive. There is always a chance that we can make a difference in this world. But the first point is the one event that comes to all men. Do you know what that is? That one event that comes to all men is death. We all live and we all die. Death comes to all people. Are you ready for it? And I know sometimes people do not like to talk about death, but it is something that is very, very important, something to consider. And it's important that we remember that someday we'll stand before God. But I think it's even more important that we should stand consciously in his presence every single day. He sees all that we do. He sees all that. He hears all that we say. He knows everything we think. And someday we'll give an account for that. So I want to encourage you, the one event that comes to all men, Hebrews chapter 9, verse 27, probably many of you could quote it. And as it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this, the judgment. So Solomon here says it over here in verse number 2. It says, all things come alike to all. There is one event to the righteous and to the wicked. It doesn't matter how good you are, how bad you are, all the good things you've done, all the bad things. If you keep on going in the verse, it talks about those who sacrifice, those who do not sacrifice, those who are clean and those that are unclean, those who are as the good and those who are as a sinner, one that fears the oath, one that swears, the complete opposites. Everyone's going to face this, the one event that comes to all men. Second thing I want you to think about is, not only is it the one event that comes to all men, it's the encouragement to all those still living. The encouragement to all those still living. Now, I know that someday we're looking forward to not this world, but what's going to happen after we die. And if we know Christ as our personal Savior, we have a wonderful future. And if you do not know, I want to encourage you. Beseech you, give thought to what happens after you die, when you pass away, because there is hope while you're still alive. You go now once again to verse number 4, for to him that is joined to all the living, there is hope. There is a difference in the death between the righteous and the unsaved, the righteous and the unrighteous, the saved and the unsaved. Think about some of the things it says in the book of Proverbs. Proverbs chapter 11, verse 7. When a wicked man dieth, his expectation shall perish. And that's what Solomon, when he's looking at these things away from God's viewpoint, you know, he's saying, okay, when you're dead, it's all gone. But then he continues on and says, and the hope of the unjust men perisheth. And all those things that they live for, all those things they hope for, when you're dead, it's gone. But in chapter Proverbs 14:32 says it this way, the wicked is driven away in his own wickedness, but the righteous have hope in his death. I love that phrase. The righteous have hope in his death. You know, this world is not what we're hoping for. Hope in death. So how can you hope in your death? Because we know who has taken away the sting of the grave and who has conquered death and who's conquered hell. And because of what Jesus Christ did on that cross, he rose victoriously from the grave. We now know that we have hope in death. Jeremiah 17:7 says, blessed is the man that trusteth in the Lord and whose hope the Lord is. Is your hope tonight in the Lord? Are you hoping that God's going to work? And once again, some people use the word, the idea of hoping that you're just dreaming of it. When we talk about biblical hope, we're talking about a confidence that we have in the Lord, a faith that we have in God. And as we're alive today, there is still hope. And you say, what is hopeful? Well, first of all, if you don't know Christ as your personal Savior, you can still get right with God today. Second thing is, if you're away from the Lord as a believer, you can get right with God also. You can once again commit your life to him. You can also, think about it, we can do God's will for our life. There is hope that God can use us to bring glory to himself. There is hope God can use us to make a difference in this world. Remember what it says in Jude 22. It says, and some have compassion making a difference. Since you are still alive, there is hope out there. And in a day where everything seems so dark and seems so wicked, we need to be reminded of this. Hey, we're still alive. We can make a difference in this world. God's got a plan. God's got a purpose. God's got a job for us to do. And we can have this hope that he can use us to make a difference, to bring people to him and to bring glory to God's name. John chapter 9, verses 4 and 5, Jesus was there and he was talking with his disciples and with this blind man. And the disciples asked, you know, did this guy sin or his parents make him blind? And Jesus responded later on. He says, I must work the works of him that sent me. While it is day, the night cometh where no man can work. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. So what Jesus was saying, hey, look, I know that the day's coming that I'm going to leave this world. He had considered what the future was. He knew that no longer was he going to be here after a certain period of time. And Jesus knew when that was going to happen because he's God. And he says, while he is here, he says, I must work the works of him that sent me. While it's day, the night cometh when no man can work. He's saying, look, I got to do everything I can. I got to do God's will for my life while I am here, the Father's will, because there's coming a day where I can no longer do it because I will not be here. And then he says, as long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. We think of that phrase, the light of the world, and we're reminded when Jesus says to the group that he's speaking to in the Sermon on the Mount, he says, ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. And he's saying, hey, look, that there is a day and time and a moment while you're here, and yes, death is going to come to all men. Sometimes when they're in their teens, sometimes 20s, 30s, 40s, 50s, 60s, 70s, 80s, 90s, 100s, whatever it is, that time is, there is still some hope that God's going to use you. You have a reason to get up. You have a reason to read your Bible and to pray because there is hope. For to him that is joined to all the living, there is hope. Now, Solomon is saying here, and this is a pessimistic, a fatalistic type way. He's saying, hey, go and live whatever you want. You're going to die anyway. That, you know, even if you get a little bit from a living dog is better than trying to be something you're not and be a dead lion. He says, get what you can out of this world. And the Lord is saying, hey, you're the light of the world. I can use you to make a difference. And we see this dark culture that's around us, and we don't see much light. We don't see much hope. We don't see much happiness. But while we are alive, God has a plan and purpose for our lives. He hasn't called us home. He hasn't raptured yet. And so we got to remember this. It's one event that comes to all people. But while we're alive, it says in verse number 4, to all the living, there is hope. Think about some of the words. Some of these verses encourage me tonight about hope. And in Psalms 39:7 says, and now, Lord, what wait I for? My hope is in thee. Mark 9:23, when the man was there, he had brought his child that was taken over by demons to disciples, some partial disciples, and they could not heal him. And he looks to Jesus and asking him for help. And Jesus says, if thou believes. And then he responds, Jesus says to him, if thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. You know what? That is hope. Christian, I don't know what you're doing in your house tonight or how you're thinking or if you're discouraged, but there is hope. If you can believe, God can do anything in your life that he wants you to do. Think about what it says in Psalms 37:4. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee desires of thine heart. And you know, he's saying, hey, look, if your desires are lined up with my desires, he says, I'm going to give you the desires of your heart. That is hope. There is hope we can be right. There is hope that our heart can be lined up with him. There is hope that we can believe that all things are possible to them that believe it. Think about some of the other encouraging words about these famous verses that are just filled with hope. Be strong and of a good courage. Fear not, nor be afraid of them. For the Lord thy God, it is that doth go with thee. He will not fail thee, nor forsake thee. And this is being told to the children of Israel as they're getting ready to go into the promised land. He's like, look, be strong and of a good courage. Fear not, nor be afraid, for the Lord thy God, he it is that goeth with thee. You know, we have the Lord going with us today. And I want to encourage you, while you're alive, believer, you don't have to be afraid. You can have courage because the Lord is with you. Think about what it says in Isaiah 40:31. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. How many of us today need our strength renewed? Many of us need to understand to stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, to be still and know that he is God. And we need to get to the point where our strength is renewed because we've waited on him. We've looked for what he wants us to do in this world at this time and at this moment. And he says, they will renew their strength. They shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint. Christian, I don't know what God is doing in the world today, but I know that he promises that he can give us strength if we are willing to wait on him and allow him to do the work. Isaiah 41:10, fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee. Yea, I will help thee. Yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. Man, what some powerful verses there. And he said, look, you don't have to be afraid because I'm with you. You don't have to be dismayed because I am God. And he says, I will strengthen thee. God will give you everything you need. He says, I will help thee. I will uphold thee. And it's amazing that while we're still in this world and while we are alive here, we have hope because of who God is, because of what Jesus said and what Jesus did. Think about what it says in Romans 15, 13. Now the God of hope fill you of all joy and peace in believing, that you may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost. We have hope in this world. Our hope is not found in America. And I love America. Our hope is not found in our president, whoever that is. Our hope is not found in a political office. It's found in God. My hope is in thee. And I want to encourage you tonight to fill your heart with joy and peace, because as you're alive, God is with you. He sees exactly what you're going through, and he can do what his will is in your life. Jeremiah 29:11 says, for I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. Sometimes we look around and we're like, what in the world's going on? What in the world's happening? And God says, I know the thoughts I think toward you. He said they're thoughts of peace, they're not of evil. God's plan and purpose in this world is going to be accomplished one way or another. And while we are alive in this world, we can know beyond the shadow of a doubt that we can have hope because God is still in charge. The third thing I want you to think about here is it's not only the one event that comes to all men, and then not only the encouragement to all those still living. The third thing is the end of all earthly opportunity. The end of all earthly opportunity. Now you go and you read through this and you see how Solomon, once again being very fatalistic, he's saying, look, you're going to die. And verse number 5 says, for the living know that they shall die, but the dead know not anything, neither have they any more reward, for the memory of them is forgotten. Also their love and their hatred and their envy is now perished. I want you to think about it, that the end of our earthly opportunity is going to happen when we die. Right now we have opportunities to serve the Lord. Right now we have opportunities to take steps of faith. Right now we have opportunities to reach people with the Lord, to reach people with the gospel. Right now we have earthly opportunities. And I verse number 6 kind of swept my heart. Also their love and their hatred and their envy is now perished. Began thinking about all those things that I love. And then I considered all those things that I hate. And then I consider all those things that I wish I had or that I was envious of. How much time we spend on those things that we love. Someday they're going to be gone. I enjoy watching a little bit of sports. If you come to our church, most of you know my favorite team is the Pittsburgh Steelers. They lost in the playoffs. They're done for the season. You know what? That's okay. It happens. Someday when I die, my love for them or my enjoyment in watching them, it's going to be gone. The love I have for the different things of this world, it's going to be gone. And you think about those things that we hate, oh, those things we get so passionate about, those things that we talk about, those things we spend much time and energy on, it's going to be gone. And those things that we always dreamed of, those things that we're envious, it's going to perish. Say, Pastor, what are you getting at? We should be living for things that are not going to perish. We should be living for things that are going to remain. We should lay up treasures in heaven. He says, neither have any more a portion forever in anything that is done under the sun. Skip down to verse number 10. Whatsoever thy hand findeth to do, do it with thy might. For there is no work, nor device, nor knowledge, nor wisdom in the grave, whither thou goest. So what the scripture is saying here, and there's some truth here, is, hey, look, you need to do everything you can right now because there's going to be coming a day where you cannot work. Even Jesus talked about that, that there's a night coming where we're no longer going to be able to work. So we should be doing everything we can to the best of our ability for him here and now. Solomon in nowhere is saying, hey, look, you need to live for God, you need to serve God. He does that in a few chapters when he says, this is the whole conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God, keep his commandments. He does that in a little while. But here he's not saying, hey, serve God with all your might. I'm here saying that's what we should be doing. That's what Jesus was intending when he talked about working while it was still day, because the night comes where no man can work, is that we should be serving him with all our heart. And because there's going to be an end of our earthly opportunities, and we don't know when that's going to be. I know there have been times in my life where I've put things off. A few people that I have always intended to talk to them about their salvation, and I never did. Maybe I did, but the Lord impressed upon my heart to do it again. Many times when I go to someone's house, I will, especially when we're talking, they visit a church a few times, I'll go to them, I'll ask for their testimony. Not because of the fact that I want to check up on them, but because I want to hear their testimony. I want to make sure they're saved on their way to heaven, so I can know that someday in the future that they're in a place that's a place of peace. And I guess in all reality, I am checking up on them because I want to make sure that they have a good testimony, a strong testimony. They're not trusting in their works. They're not trusting in something that isn't going to get them to heaven. There's only one thing that gets you to heaven, and that's by putting your faith and trust in Jesus Christ. So I'll ask that, so that way someday in the future, if I ever preach at a funeral or if I ever hear that they've passed away, I can know in my heart that they had a testimony that they knew Christ. And if not, then I know that I need to pray for them. I try to be a witness to them and try to bring them to Christ, because the end of our earthly opportunity is coming. There is coming a day when a person's not going to be able to be saved. There's coming a day when their fate is sealed, when they pass on into eternity, and if they don't know Christ, they're ending up in hell. There is coming a day, and we got to remember that there is an end to an earthly opportunity here, and we only have a limited time to serve, and we should be doing it. It says, whatsoever thy hand findeth to do, do it with all thy might. Do it with thy might, for there is no work, nor device, nor knowledge, nor wisdom in the grave whither thou goest. You can't keep on doing it. Now, there's another verse in the Bible that reminded me of. It's found in 1 Corinthians 10:31. Whether therefore you eat or drink or whatsoever you do, do all to the glory of God. I think we should combine those two verses in a sense and say, do it with all your might, but make sure you're doing it for the glory of God. Think about what it says in 1 John chapter number 2, verses 15 through 17. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passeth away and the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever.
Amen.
And it's just a perfect example that the things of this world are going to pass away. Love not the world, neither things are in the world. And he begins talking about what's in the world. The lust of the flesh, the lust of the eye, the pride of life. The world passeth away. The end of this earthly opportunity is going to stop. But he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. The things you do for God inside his will while here on this earth is something that will abide forever, because you'll have rewards for those things that you've done here for him. I was reading, obviously when you study for a passage of scripture, you look at different places and different people for messages, or not messages per se, illustrations and stories, and I came across one that I thought was interesting about this passage. It talked about how there was a young man that was getting ready to graduate from Michigan University or University of Michigan. His parents hadn't talked to him for about 4 or 5 days, but they were planning on being at graduation, and they were there. And as they were sitting at graduation, they noticed that their son wasn't there. They looked all around, and afterwards they went up to their friends and said, "Hey, where's my son at?" And the friends said, "We haven't seen him for 3 days either." Well, they went out to look for him. And it says that this young man committed suicide. And he committed suicide a few days earlier when he found out that he wasn't going to graduate from Michigan. And he said, and the reason why was because he could not tell his parents that he had messed up and was not going to graduate. And what the parents had said, that the boy's life is so much more than what a degree would be. So much more valuable. Not to waste, and he wasted the opportunity of his life. You know, he could have went back and got the degree. He could have faced whatever, I don't know if the word shame is right, or the word of going back and doing more work. But the parents so much impressed upon the people, "Hey, look, we would have rather had him more than any type of degree." So, Pastor, where are you getting at? It's better to have a living lion, loving dog, than having a dead lion. And in this world today, you have a life here that you can use. Don't throw it away. Don't write it off and say, hey, I can't do anything. I've made mistakes. I've messed up. While you're still alive, there is hope. There is hope. Think about what C.T. Studd wrote once written. Only one life till soon be passed. Only what's done for Christ will last. That young man thought, hey, he couldn't live his life anymore because of the shame that would have came with not graduating. He didn't want to face his parents and tell them that. But his parents just wanted him to live. They'd rather have him than a degree. I want to encourage you in your life. Don't get worked up in the things that maybe you've done wrong in the past and the challenges of things you cannot do right now. Because I know I've had more than one person say, Pastor, what can we do for America? What can we do to make things better? What should we do? Just in conversations. And there are certain things that maybe we can't do. Maybe we need to wait on the Lord and let him show us and direct us. But don't come to the point where you say, it's not worth it anymore. I can't do anything. While you're still alive, there is hope. And there's coming a day. There's coming a day when there is no more that you can do in this world. Don't waste these moments and these times. Life is short. Make sure you're doing things for him today. Remember, whatsoever thy hand doeth, find it to do, do it with all thy might. I want to encourage you, that's portionally true. Make sure that you're living for the Lord too. Those things that bring honor and glory to God. Solomon, I think he's looking at it from a different perspective. He's trying to talk about things without putting God in the equation. And I think whatever you're trying to do, you should try to do with all your might. But we also learn in the scripture that whatsoever you do, do all to the honor and glory of God. So as we consider this passage of scripture tonight, to all the living, there is hope. Tonight, I don't know where you're at in your spiritual life. I don't know if you're a Christian or not. If you're hearing my voice and you don't know Christ as your personal Savior, Christ died for your sins and we're all sinners and in need of a Savior. He came to this world and shed his blood to pay our sin penalty for us. He was buried in a grave and rose victoriously. And if we will put our faith and trust in him, we can know him. If you have questions, find somebody you can talk to spiritually. The church number's on the website. Call us. We'd love to have someone take a Bible and show you how you can be saved and on your way to heaven. There's hope of that. To every believer in the room, I don't know what you're going through, but I do know there's hope. With God, all things are possible. He tells you not to be afraid. He tells you not to be dismayed. He tells you not to be overwhelmed. He tells you his thoughts are thoughts of peace. And it's a challenge right now in this day and time. Am I going to believe those things? Am I going to have faith that God can work all things together for good? Because my hope is not found in this world. It's found in God. Solomon was saying, hey, this is just all you have to live for. It's just not true. We have so much more to live for. Because we're just passing through this world. This world is not my home. I'm just a passing through. Remember, with Christ, there is always hope. With the wicked, there's no hope in death. But with the righteous, there's even hope in death. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I thank you for today. Thank you for this passage of Scripture. Sometimes the things that Solomon writes can be very challenging. Talks about all those things that are going to be gone when we die. Those things that we love, those things that we hate, those things of the world that we put so much emphasis on, those things that we're envious of today that we wish we could have and just never can seem to reach them. We put all our time and effort towards them. It's going to be gone sometime, someday. That opportunity is going to end. And Lord, I pray we don't spend our lives chasing earthly dreams, but instead, we seek the kingdom of God first. And Lord, we allow you to do a work in our heart and in our heart and life that is something that only you can do. We realize there is something that all men have to face, whether good or bad, we all have to face death. We all also realize that there is an encouragement to those that are alive. If they're alive today, Lord, there is hope that they can come to know you, and there is hope as a believer that they can trust in you because you're with us. And Lord, help us to realize that someday our opportunity is going to end. Someday we're not going to have the chance to be a witness. Someday we're going to not have a chance to serve. Someday we're not going to have a chance to do your call for our lives here in this world. Help us remember that. In Jesus' name, amen.